Independent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Lots going on. Lots of stuff going on, and none of it makes any sense whatsoever. I tell you, folks, I thought I would have my article posted up on the website. This is part five of the Three Stooges Go to Washington, and wouldn't you know it, I stumbled across some more information which is very pertinent to the story, kind of sews up a couple of more dots and brings them into the picture. I can allude basically to the fact that Stanley Ann Dunham, who I say is alive, even though Obama says she passed away in 1995, every indication that she's alive and has been using a bunch of different aliases. A while back, one of my readers sent me a couple of links to some police reports about a terrorist activity that occurred in Hawaii. And, of course, this is one of the listed associates of Stanley Ann Dunham. How can she have an associate? Actually, this associate is about half her age, maybe a little over half her age. So she's working with a guy that was arrested for leaving a bomb at a hotel. This was back in 2002. Now, keep in mind, this person is listed in the database by age, where Stanley Ann Dunham is the appropriate age for the time. And this associate is the appropriate age for the time. And so one would conclude that she's alive. I would venture to bet my radio show that Madeline Dunham is still alive, the grandmother that supposedly died the day before the election. Certainly haven't seen any sign of any despondency mourning or anything like that for losing such an important person. And when you see all the information that's coming out, you're all going to understand and realize that none of these people are even related to each other. Let me repeat that. None of the Dunhams and the Obama clan are even related. While we're chasing our tails, looking to justify this relationship with a woman who is claimed to be, I don't even think the Dunhams are Americans, let's put it that way. I think flat out they were Nazis from East Germany. And you will probably feel the same way when you see the article. So it's taking a little bit longer, but I guarantee you it is worth it. It is a very, very detailed piece, which is going to probably more than any combination of journalism pertaining directly to the facts about Obama. Not the things he says, the things that we know he's involved in, the things that I have discovered in the area of massive real estate money laundering, which happens, just by chance, happens to be the theme of the story in Chicago. And by and large, I'm not even talking about Chicago. I've already written about this to an extent, but I'm going to be expounding on this much, much more. Of course, I'm writing a book about this. He's one of many characters in the book, actually. It's not about Obama, per se. It's about infiltrators. Not traitors in the normal sense that we call someone a traitor if they commit treason. These are infiltrators. It's a word I coined, and I'm hoping people start using it, because that's the problem we have in our government today. With that said, I would like to bring man on that you have asked me to invite back to Evident Footprints. He was on a couple of weeks ago. Actually, more than a couple of weeks ago. I think it's a couple of months ago. probably in November sometime, or maybe even October, we had him on. We can't even agree what date that was yet. He is a biblical scholar, and I mean that in every sense of the word. But he's not the mainstream street corner Bible thumping type of biblical scholar that we're all used to. And some of those flaunt around sort of like penguins, and they call themselves TV evangelists. He's not like that either. He's also a musician, quite an accomplished musician. In fact, he plays the bass and probably a few other instruments that he hasn't talked about. We may get into some discussion about music tonight, as well as being a patriot and having been an abductee. And we may talk about that a little bit tonight. So we're going to be all over the place, but with one guest, and he's turning out to be actually quite a good friend. His name is Joe Church. Joe, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you very much, Don. It's good to be with you again.
Nice to have you back. Well, you got to hear my introduction. Does any of this surprise you, Joe? These things that I'm talking about?
The political dynasty. As we grow nearer to the end times, which I feel is very, very near to the end of this world age, the deception would be such that if it had not been that the days were shortened, even the very elect would be deceived. The name of the game from here on out is going to be extreme deception. So anything other than that, don't look for.
Mm-hmm.
Just look for extreme deception. And
that's not hard to find.
Right.
All you have to do is open your eyes.
Right. And usually the majority you will find follows the deception. So it seems to me that if you're following the majority, you're probably within that matrix there. Political leaders worldwide are going to be fighting against the Lord in the end times. That's quite a feat when you think of man's leaders leading the fight against the Lord, leading the people of the world against the Lord. That's a lot of nerve, and we know the results of that. And it's certainly lining up that way, where for the first time ever, according to the prophets, I speak specifically of Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8, in which the Father gives his plan, his entire plan, in that one verse. And that is, I'm going to paraphrase it, it's my intention to gather all the nations of the earth together so that I may pour my indignation out upon them. You see, he's allowing this one world system to come in. He's allowing the sons of Cain, who I refer to as the Cainites, the sons of Cain, to actually bring this, to lead the charge, bringing this one world government into effect. He's allowing this to happen. But not for the reason they think. He just wants to gather them all in one spot so he can make an easy end of them and show them what fools they really are. So, with that in mind.
Okay, now, Joe, just so you know, I got knocked off the call. It looked like our communication went down totally on both ends here. evidently, wow, the truth is coming out. So,
yeah, they don't like that, Don.
I missed part of what you said, but I have an idea. If you want to repeat maybe the last minute or so.
Sure, I'll do it.
For my benefit?
Yeah.
You said there was going to be a lot of deception, and you said that world leaders were going to take on the Lord. Pretty much after that, it went out. Obviously, this message is getting to someone, so
okay,
we'll try again.
Very good. Are you ready to go, Don?
Yeah. We're on the air.
Okay.
You've been on the air all this time. So
okay.
Great job hosting for me. Thank you.
Okay, the Sons of Cain. I'm referring to the two brothers, the two twin brothers that were born to Adam, the seventh-day creation man, were Cain and Abel. Their descendants, Abel, his seed was cut off, replaced by Seth. But Cain, his brother, twin brother, I might add, fraternal twin, not identical twin.
Mm-hmm.
His seed line is very real, and you can trace it throughout the Word of God. In particular, you can find these people listed in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. Chapter 2, verse 3, gives a listing of the sons of Judah, and it gives umbilical cord to umbilical cord from verse 3 all the way to verse 55. This begot this, begot this, all the sons.
Mm-hmm.
And then down in 55, in the families of the scribes, which dwelt at Jabez, the Terethites, the Shimeathites, the Shushathites, these are the Kenites. Sons of Cain, it means in Hebrew, that came of Hemath, the father of the house of Rachab. You see, you can trace these families all through the scriptures with some study. So they are alive and well, and they've infiltrated the house of Judah. For the most part, they've infiltrated all houses in these end times. They're pretty thorough. Where the action is, and they infiltrate even the most private of organizations. That's their MO and their
calling card.
What
you
they're
might
all
say.
About.
Huh?
What's that, Don?
You might say calling card, right?
Yes, their calling card. And we know from Genesis that they were protected by the Father to be the so-called correction rod for true Israel, and constantly through the ages they were set in place and protected so that they could, if Israel let themselves down, they could penetrate and actually try to take over that seed line or call themselves of that seed line. So with that in mind, these people in the end times, which we're living in now, will bring about the one world government. These are the movers and shakers behind every action we see today on the face of the earth. They're very, very, very thorough in what they do. They're very, very protected by the Father. However, he does mention that they will overdo what he has allowed them to do. But in any event, that's his business. He can take care of his business any day, anytime he wants.
Wouldn't
these
you
people,
say, pretty much, Joe, they've already used up all the all of that that mission? In other words, I mean, they far exceeded any authority they've been given and gone just bananas with the whole thing.
Sure, they've gone way overboard. However, the Father is the one that deals with that. But he has to allow this seed line to go to the end because it's his plan. And you see, many, many, even Christian brothers and sisters of mine will be deceived by him in the end times and his children. It's not a pleasant thing to watch. It's very difficult to see the deception, how thorough it is. I refer to the religious dynasty worldwide today that has been infiltrated by the Kenite. See, they're thorough. They're always in the right place at the right time. And they control the four hidden dynasties, which are the dynasties which control any government, the political, the economic, the educational, and religious. All four mm-hmm. of those dynasties, they're masters. And, you know, in Joel chapter 1, it refers to a locust army, an army which, when it attacks, there's a beautiful, lush vegetation. And after this locust army passes through this complete and utter destruction, if you look at the educational, the economic dynasty of today, you can even see right in the news headlines today an economic devastation that has been taken place by the self same people. It's right in the newspapers, right in front of your eyes. So complete a devastation that completely wiped out lush vegetations, huge storehouses of money have been wiped out, and in the time of a second.
Mm-hmm. You know, Joe, while you were talking a moment ago, I had this understanding that there's really no difference between the various branches of government and the programs that we have behind the scenes. You were referencing religion, I'm presuming you're implying the false prophets at the same time. And I see no difference between a preacher lying to us or the head of a country lying to us or the various branches of the government. And there's really no dividing line anymore, is there?
No, they have complete control of the four dynasties, the political, the educational, the economic, and the religious dynasties. Complete control. In other words, there are no accidents. It's all devised and planned.
Well, that leaves entertainment for us, doesn't it?
Well,
oh, we could do a little comedy, a little music.
You're right.
Oh,
right. But I think by knowing the truth, Don, it puts everything in perspective. See, I can't read a newspaper anymore, Don, because I know mm-hmm. the deception that's being used. The only newspaper I can read is the scriptures, the written scriptures, to tell what's going on. I just can't read men's works any longer because the deception is so deep.
Oh, yeah. You know, I had referenced this article, and I think this bears bringing this out because not many people are really aware of this. Anybody who's been listening for any length of time throughout the past year has heard this increasingly alarming story about Barack Obama's certificate of birth, of live birth. In other words, it's a document that should be signed by a doctor naming the hospital, naming the father, the mother, And in a way that it fits the time, and they're claiming 1961. Well, it's become very evident, not just here on Evident Footprints, but elsewhere, that this is a ruse. We're just being lied to, but people are just accepting it. I know that I'm supposed to talk about these things. I know that I'm supposed to bring these things to light. and that they'll get sorted out. That's basically what I'm doing, is bringing them to light. And hopefully people are going to wake up and understand or discern what is going on here. It is important to bring these issues up because we put false trust in people that are deceiving us. This is total deception. Now, the corruption in the documents, Joe, does not end there. And I was reviewing a piece that came out in mid-November on a website run by Debbie Schlüssel. What's interesting, in German, the name Schlüssel, the word Schlüssel means key. So her name is Debbie Key. And boy, is she on top of these things with these documents. She has all the birth certificate information posted on her site. And then when Obama came out with the Social Security or Selective Service registration, it's totally bogus. There's at least 10 references to, or what I perceive are corrupt information and fraudulent information, even forgery on these documents. There's no way that this document was created in 1980. And by the way, anyone registering for the draft, a male, has to register, even though we don't have a draft currently, they must register within 6 months of their 18th birthday. Now, what I understand is you can go past your birthday by 6 months, but he registered on this document anyway. He registered on July 30th, 1980. That's what the document says. He wrote that by hand. The stamp on the document says July 29th, 1980. It was stamped by the post office the day before he signed it. Now, they're supposed to stamp it after he fills out the card. Something's not right there, okay? The dates don't match. And the date the post office stamped on the card is the day before Obama signed it. Well, somebody made a mistake, or somebody was in such a rush to create this fictitious document that they didn't look at that tiny little detail. That they think that we're absolutely so stupid that we couldn't look at that and figure out something was wrong with it. But that's not the end of it. The stamp, which was used, was retired from that method of marking postcards in 1970. So they used a stamp that hadn't been used for 10 years, supposedly, at the time they created this document. I would venture to guess that it was probably done this year. In fact, an accompanying document, which is the, what do they call it? The document location number, the DLN. It has a number, and the number begins with the zero, the real number. But on Obama's card, it begins with an 8, as if they were trying to make it look like 80, because it says 08, which stands for 2008. And they put an 8 in front of it. It has an extra number. They doctored the card. And so, likely, Obama never filled this card out. He never did, because he was never an American. He never felt obliged to do that. This is what's going on. This is the guy that's the president-elect of our country. And you heard the little bit that I mentioned about his mother. Oh, man, you just can't imagine what I've uncovered since the last article came out. It's been as soon as I think I'm ready to release it, more information comes my way. So you are absolutely correct. This is the time of deception. At the highest level.
Yes.
And the question is now, what do we do about it, Joe?
Well, the scriptures state clearly that in the end times, if you meet an adversary in the byway, to agree with him, or else he deliver you up to the judge and you pay the last penny. You've got to be wiser than the serpent, but peaceful as the dove. government of the end times is a world government. It's no longer the country that you live in. It's a world government, and it's not going to be a very pleasant a government toward individuals. Its overall purpose is much more important than the individual person, which we knew to be the case in our country for many years.
Mm-hmm.
I, being 61 years old, was born the year of the fig tree. The fig tree was planted in Jerusalem, both the good and the bad. So I knew the United States when it was in its heyday, so to speak, but now it's been grafted into the one world government, even though the leaders might remain the same, or it looks like the United States of old. I assure you that it's a completely different government under a completely different court. And when I say the world court, it has enforcement powers now to go out and enforce world court judgments, and it actually has an army that goes out and enforces it. Now, those people that are in that army are part of the plan. However, many of them don't realize what the purpose, the overall purpose of this one world court is and the enforcement powers that it has. I just want to go back to Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. In the Hebrew, every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is listed in within that verse, with special acrostics according to the Masoretes, giving the overall plan of the Father. Now, never before in the history of man have all the nations of the earth been gathered together, as is mentioned in the book of Revelation. All the nations of the earth drank of the wine of the wrath of their fornication. This is the one world government beast. Never before have all nations been gathered together. Not in 70 AD, when Titus took over Jerusalem. All the world nations were not joined together at that time. Only now is this pertinent, this particular verse. And see, the Father has a plan for even that. He's allowing the Kenites to bring it in the sons of Cain. So the main thing that we should do is not get in the Father's way. Allow it to come in. Because, I mean, there's no weapons that you can use against it. Now, I'm going to show you some weapons that I have and that I use against it daily. However, they're not the weapons that most people think of.
What's your impression? Weapon. Let me ask you this, Joe. What's your impression as to where I should be standing to make sure I am out of his way?
Okay.
I'm speaking, of course, you know, metaphorically here.
Yes. It's very important at this time, Don, to have a working knowledge of the scriptures, of the prophets, of the Old Testament, of the New Testament. David was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. There's prophecy in the book of Genesis. The entire book is prophecy, if you look at it on a third level.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said about the Old Testament, he says, these things were in samples or examples, all examples of what would befall you right at the end of the age. In other words, there'd be hundreds and hundreds of examples of scenarios that would befall you right at the end, when this when this deception would be taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So the main thing is to get a fairly good working knowledge. Try to read the book 7 times. Try to get a fairly good working knowledge of what's going on. Don't get bogged down with genealogies and other places where you don't understand. Read right through it, get right through it, and come back the next time around, and maybe you'll see something a little different. But try to get it through it 7 times, and get a fairly, you'll get a fairly good working knowledge about prophecy, you'll be able to see things much more clearly after 7 times. But just get through it. It might take you a little. Some people can read, if you can, read it even aloud in your own ear. It's very important to read it so you can hear it. Or have somebody that has the scriptures line on line on tape read it in your ear without commentary. Leave the commentary out. Just have them read it. Some areas it might not relate to you. Other areas will jump out of the pages at you. That's for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see prophecy. Things like I just read. These things, pray to the Father, and he'll let these things jump right out at your face. They'll come right out of the pages at you, especially in these end times, Don. And in that, you will know not to get in his way, but understand he's allowing the deception to take place. But when you fight against the one world government, you're actually just witnessing against it through the scriptures. And it's important to use the scripture as your documentation. Because when that happens, this causes confusion in the enemy's mind. You see, they start to realize that the book that they bring about the deception with, see, this book can become a serpent. The book that they use and understand it wrongly is being manifest to them. Just the way Jesus pointed out to the priests of the Old Testament, how that they understood the scriptures wrong, and he was the first one to explain it in the proper light.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you speak of a serpent, are you're implying such as when Moses cast his staff down, and it actually turned into a serpent?
Yes, because Pharaoh was the chief of the priests. He also had priests that could cast the staff down. The staff today, of course, would be the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
See, they could cast it to the ground and make a serpent out of it. This book can become a serpent.
Yeah, I always interpreted that scripture as the word of God. That staff was the word of God.
Sure.
And he demonstrated.
That a priest uses. And so with this staff, your serpent can eat up their serpent.
Well, you know, I know that the Lord doesn't have to turn the water into blood like he did in the days of Moses. He can just leave it the way it is. I mean, they've got enough pollutants in it already, you know, fluoride and all of that. Although I understand the symbology in doing that. Isn't it interesting, you know, when they had the Passover and they put the lamb's blood on their, you know, over their door.
Yes.
As a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that pestilence that flowed through the city past those that were the faithful who had actually marked their door. Do you ever see anything, or do you have any indication that any event like that is supposed to take place?
Well, it can take place even now, Don, in the end of this time with the deception that's going through the land. The death angel is passing over. If you look pretty close at the four hidden dynasties, he's devastating all of them. And the blood of the Lamb of God, is Jesus Christ, to be put on the doorpost of your mind so that the deception can't enter in. You see, there's a false Jesus and there's a true mm-hmm. Jesus. There's many people that come to me with the false Jesus, and I try to point out to them the true Jesus. You see, it's question of the Old Testament being something that we even have today, that we can use today, put the blood of the lamb, so to speak, and we use the anointing olive oil. Olive oil was the oil that was prescribed in the Old Testament to anoint the servants of the Lord, from the leaders on down, and even for healing. And so this should be put on the doorpost of your mind, symbolic of aliol, el aliol, el meaning God in the Hebrew. It's the oil of God, the anointing. Christ means the anointed, if you can follow my drift here.
Yeah.
I know you can.
And
so this is the example in the Old Testament coming to pass today. Now, many will follow this false Jesus in the end times, even using these same scriptures. You see the dichotomy, the dualism of man that's permeating the earth today. And many, most Christians, as in the book of Amos, says they'll come out by 100 and go back by 90. Probably 90% of the Christians today are going to be deceived in the end times.
Yeah, it's what we call the Hegelian dialectic, which is the duplicity. And, of course, they use that in the economic system, but it's gone far beyond duplicity, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They didn't stop at two. Let's put it that way.
Right.
You know, it's like somebody said, hey, we got all these other numbers here. What are we going to do with them? The amount of corruption is beyond imagination. No one could think this up and ever expect to carry it out, other than somebody that's just totally consumed by evil.
Right. They've accomplished it, and they do a great job at what they do, Don. Deception is the name of their game, and they are great at it. Now, I've had Christians come up to me and say, gee, why don't you give me the names of these people and we can take them out and end the problem. The problem with that is if I do give names, then the Father will be very unhappy with me, because that's going to short-circuit his plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about when they give their names out, you know, like in the event of, you know, well, like in the events that are going on today?
Well, you will know who the Kenites are when the elect are delivered up in the end times. There's coming a day when I will be delivered up, and many other true Christians will be delivered up. And you'll know who they are when they deliver you up. That will be the time in which they will be revealed. They will reveal themselves at that time.
I have a pretty good idea.
That is the plan of the Father.
Uh-huh. I have a pretty good idea right now who most of those people are.
Sure.
It's not that difficult to see. I think if, you know, we're paying attention, and that's one reason why I do what I do, Joe, as you heard me tell you, you know, both on and off the air. I'm convinced that it's important for us to know this so that we do not become deceived, that we know what we are being cautious or avoiding.
Right.
Unfortunately, if you just think back to November the 4th, even though that election itself was a predetermined outcome, and they made sure it was counted that way, let's say, and then let the listeners deduce what they want out of that. It was an event that demonstrated how consumed people are by that deception.
Mm-hmm.
They've been swept off their feet as if they're in a romance.
Sure.
And they're calling this individual a messiah. It's in a way, it's a sort of blasphemy, although the people who are engaged in all this worship wouldn't admit it as such. They would never, ever contemplate that what they were doing was an affront to God.
Right.
In supporting this corruption and falling for it and worshiping it. It's like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Any comment about that?
I'm getting a beep in my phone down, and I'm trying to transfer it to my other phone, but...
Well, if we lose you, we'll have to call you back. Which number will we call you on?
Same
is that
number.
Is that one of those battery beeps?
I got another
phone. Okay.
And I'll answer on that one.
Or just... try get to it with, or do you have to hang up and?
No, I just got a beep, and as long as you're not hearing the beep, and that's fine.
Yeah, I heard one.
Did you?
I thought that was your wristwatch, though.
No, no.
Well, if you need to take, care of that for a moment, I can do a shout out to a couple of listeners.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll hang up and.
I usually do this either at the beginning of the show or the end of the show. I've got a devoted group of listeners that I'm told listen to every show. And I used to have a list written out, and after a while you kind of get to know all the names. And so I want to give a shout out to Karen, Bob, and Bill, David Crenshaw, Zachariah, Sheila, Sylvia, and the General. Now, let's see. I may have forgotten one person. Let me see if I can remember that name. Oh, yes. It's Jill. How are you, Jill? Greetings to all the folks from Project Alliance, and I'm glad to have you listening to the show tonight. Been getting some great comments from folks and suggestions, as I've mentioned on some other shows. I got some new guests coming on board very soon. As I mentioned yesterday, I got to speak to Dr. Kasim Khalil. We talked on the air yesterday on Rick Adams' show about 9/11, and that was one of the major deceptions against the United States, but really against the whole world too, because we had a whole series of false flag events occur when certain countries wanted to pull out of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we had the London bombings, and we had the Madrid train bombing, the Bali nightclub bombing. And these are really thought out and planned to provoke a certain reaction and a certain kind of fear in the people in those regions, as well as even here in America, because we end up going to fight these illicit wars where people are being slaughtered in the millions. And we're not hearing the news about what's going on here today, so imagine what we're not hearing overseas. In fact, we're probably hearing more about what's going on overseas than we are here because of what Joe was just talking about in terms of a New World Order takeover the whole planet. I'm one that holds on to the opinion that, in a sense, this can be stopped, or it can be righted in a certain way, because I have my own feelings, and they're aligned with God, with what God tells me, with what the Holy Spirit tells me, and what I discern in my heart. These are tendencies, though. It's certainly looking like what the Bible predicts is coming to pass. There's no doubt about that. Joe, are you back with us?
Yes, Don.
Okay, and you're not beeping anymore.
Yeah, right. The
okay.
weapons that we use to fight against this one world system.
Yes.
This is the father's system. He's allowing it. So he says the only weapons that can come against this system is the weapons involved in the scriptures. You see, verses of knowledge as to who this one world system is, who runs it. You know, the same people that hung Jesus on the cross are the same people that are bringing in the one world system. Umbilical cord to umbilical cord. Bringing into plan the negative part of the Father's plan. See, when Jesus came, he didn't wipe out the Kenites. He knew that they had to come all the way to the end, to our generation, so that we could witness against them and their father when he comes. See, his father, this is what this is all about, leading to the appearance of the false Messiah, their father.
Mm-hmm.
He's ultimately coming here to rule this one world government. And the only weapons that can be used against this supernatural cherubim are the scriptures, the holy scriptures, with proper knowledge. These are weapons.
Mm-hmm. Joe,
the only way you can attack it is with these weapons.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something. Actually, it's a week ago Saturday, I was on Greg Evenson's show on RBN. And I don't know if you got to hear that show. It was actually quite a good show.
Right.
I had fielded a call from a listener, and the listener asked me who I thought the Antichrist was going to be and when the Antichrist was going to appear. In other words, could I make any prediction about that? Well, the scriptures say that no man knoweth the hour, and there's instructions on what to do when that happens. And you know, I recall Jesus saying, if you're on the roof when that happens, don't even go inside the house to gather your things. Okay, there's a sense of urgency in that whole thing. Yet, everyone has their eyes focused to see if they can figure out in their mind what that one what that one person might do or what they might be like, or just simply who that might be by observing what they do. And the answer that came out of me very rapidly, without really even thinking about it, was the Antichrist is here already, but it's this one world government. I'm seeing it in a spiritual sense as if it's all these people together.
Yes.
As one.
Right.
And that, their God is really Satan, which is the antithesis of God. It's the antithesis of the creation. And so it's all about destruction and darkness. It's not about light. It's not about love. It's not about peace or any of the other high spiritual qualities, the spiritual vibrations of the highest order. It's all a very basic, very controlling vibration. In the low, it has to be the lower frequencies. Those are the frequencies that are destructive, even in music. Mm-hmm. If you want to go deaf, listen to low frequency sound, excessively loud, and it will destroy your hearing. So you can imagine that if what one discerns, and in the heart, the things that one discerns in the heart can be seen in the mind, and so they will move up into a higher vibration toward light. And if that's not happening, if it's creating fear, in other words, what goes into the heart or what goes into the mind ends up in the abdomen where fear resides, and you get butterflies or you get that sick feeling in your stomach, then you know the source of that is actually from the dark side. It's not
right.
Real difficult.
Right, right.
But most people don't pay attention to that, yet they always have those experiences.
Right, right.
And it's usually when you go into the camp of the enemy. and I'm speaking metaphorically there, but when you go into the court system or you have to deal with a political issue or you're dealing with the corruption of the banks or whenever you have to confront some injustice that's being done, don't you get that feeling of knots in your stomach?
Right.
Or at least, you know, at one time. Go ahead.
However, the knowledge of the scriptures, the third level knowledge, it will make you feel very comfortable, even though you're right in the midst of the deception and the fire and the courts of Pharaoh, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're right in his presence, you'll still be able to see it for what it really is through your knowledge of the scriptures, and to know that this is all part of the Father's plan, that he controls it, he allows it, and he allows you to even be there right in the higher echelons of the court of Satan himself. And he is present spiritually today, but he is coming down very shortly. And, you know, just as Ezekiel, the Father brought his throne down to this earth and prophesied from his throne to Ezekiel, and what is described as in the English from the Hebrew, highly polished brass vehicle, highly polished bronze. This is the same way that the entity, the person we know as Lucifer, Satan, he has many names. He has his own body. And he is going to duplicate that same thing. He is going to bring his throne to this earth and prophesy from his throne, just as the Father did in Ezekiel's time. And the people of this earth are going to accept him, because he's going to be all things to all people. He's going to be supernatural. He's going to be performing miracles. Don't think it's any man on this earth, any flesh man on this earth. This is a supernatural cherubim that's coming. He's going to look to the Christians, to many Christians, as Jesus returned. And this is ultimately what the scriptures refer to as the great revival, when Satan lands and brings his throne to this earth and prophesies to the people of this world that he is the return of the Messiah. And he's going to be all things to all people. He's going to be Buddha to the Buddhist. He's going to be, and he will have signs and wonders following. He's not going to be any man that we know of today. He's his own man. And he's going to make a grand entrance in the city of Jerusalem and in the Jerusalem of your own mind. I talk Jerusalem, the habitation of peace. Only through the knowledge of the seals of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 can you not be deceived. But you have to have the proper interpretation that Jesus meant it to be. I don't know how much time we have to go on in the show.
We have more time here, a few more minutes. I wanted to ask you something, sort of comment. Seems like every great prophet, Isaiah and Joshua and Daniel, when they described things that they were, visions that they were being given, or when they were interpreting visions for others, and as it was the case in Daniel, they saw things represented usually by insects. When they talked about massive amounts of insects flying, let's say locusts, for instance.
Locus, yes.
People envision a helicopter. That image always comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we certainly have a predominance of those, and I think we're going to be surprised to see what sprung on us at some point.
The locust army, Don, of the scriptures, to nail it down as far as I can see, is this is the Kenite army. the sons of Cain, and all those that have joined on to them, believing that they are the God's chosen people. And in actuality, they are God's chosen people.
Because they're playing that role.
That's it. Yeah. You got it.
It's really the essence of what free will is. He's allowing that to occur.
That's it.
Now, in that sense, you know, we have sort of a dichotomy, okay? He's trying to get the Kenites to hear the message, yet they're falling. They're giving their allegiance to the other side, let's say, to the dark side, to the opposite of what and who God is.
I
can't, or let's say, I haven't been able to get beyond the aspect of what their judgment is going to be, in a sense. I understand that they will have to judge themselves, that God will still honor free will in that sense and totally give them the responsibility for determining what their, if you want to, for lack of a better word, what their punishment would be. You know, it's referred to as karma. In other words, you know, you sow, you reap what you sow. So in that sense, they will probably be at a level where the debt that they have to pay and the circumstances that they choose for themselves will be such that they would probably wish they were just burning in hell.
I believe, Don, that I do believe that many of them are listening to this program as we speak. And I always say to them that you can come to the knowledge that we have. And you can come across. And I know that in some cases in the past, that Kenites who have converted to this message were hated by their own. And, you know, they were really severely treated because of that conversion. But it'll be well worth the trip. And, you know, I think that many of the elect in the end times will have a lot more help than we think. You know, there was a servant of Elisha, who father allowed that servant to see the army overhead. He opened up the skies. He saw into that dimension the army that was helping them. And it was a huge, huge army. So, you know, we have a lot more help than we realize as people that walk in flesh bodies on this earth. So, you know, the Father always said in the scriptures, he says, touch not mine anointed. The Kenites are not allowed to touch them. It's the same way that the anointed aren't allowed to touch the Kenites.
How do you see this battle taking place, Joe, if that doesn't interfere with what, you know, the message that you want to bring out tonight?
I'd say that the written word, Don, is going to be the battleground. And the interpretation, the knowledge, the understanding of similar verses by each individual is where the battlefield is going to take place. It's going to be a war of the scriptures. That's basically how I see it. The word of God is known as the fire. He says, my tongue is a consuming fire. And both sides, the positive and the negative, are going to be using this fire. The scriptures, they're gonna, I kind of, to friends, I say it's going to be like two flamethrowers going at each other. But you see, it's the scriptures are powerful. They're powerful weapons, and that will be the ultimate battle.
Well, then those that are following the scripture are going to have on the armor of God, and the sword will be the word.
That's it. That's that fight. That's that battle. You see, there's many that are listening now that find what I'm saying is very strange. They've never heard anything like this before, but you see, I'm participating in the battle right now. It's a battle of spirits, battle of minds. It's a battle of understanding. And, you know, it's if this, the word can destroy right to the marrow of the bone. In other words, it can destroy even to right to the soul. It can't destroy a soul, but if, in a sense, if you know the entire plan of God, the Father is the only one that can destroy a spirit or a soul. And, you know, if you're mouthing the Father's word, it can do a number.
Well, if one thinks through this, okay, and let's say the Antichrist is deceiving everybody. He's deceiving all the nations, all the different people, all the different religions, as if his one religion encompasses all of them. That is a deception in and of itself, and so there are going to be those that fall for that. I can only imagine, and I'm getting the strong feeling or the strong impression in my spirit that what that is really going to be is just total chaos.
Sure. That's the Babylon of the end times. It means confusion, Babylon. That's the Babylon that Daniel saw. That's why he was so confused. And the angel told Daniel, he says, Daniel, it's not for you to understand, but the wise in the end would understand. And here we are, Don.
And when, if you recall a couple of days ago when you and I talked, off the air, of course, and I had said to you, isn't it interesting that we have a word in the English language? See if you remember this, my saying this. We have a word in the English language that describes what I just described, this chaos, this mental chaos, and the words that people would use or the things that people would say to each other would be babble.
Is it, Don? That's the city of Babylon, Don. The city of Babylon is worldwide. It's not in Iraq in the end times. You see, we just spent $600 million restoring and rejuvenating the city, the ancient city of Babylon. And many U.S. troops are not even allowed to go to visit that area. They're there. But, you see, the Babylon that you've got to watch in the end times. You can't be deceived by that Babylon in the Middle East. The Babylon in the end times is the world. The whole world is the city of Babylon. And the capital city, the city where Jesus shed his blood, is still on the ground there today, is the place where that throne is coming. No man is going to bring that throne there. He's going to bring it. He's going to prophesy from that throne right in Jerusalem.
Well,
will be deceived by it.
Yeah, I find it interesting that the Rothschild family built a world court in Israel.
Okay.
And I don't know how I would describe it. When I first saw it, it had the appearance of a cross. But as I looked at it in a very ethereal way, it looked like an ankh, which has almost a loop. An ankh has a loop. It looks like a cross, except the top isn't straight. It curves and comes back down to the horizontal bar of a cross.
Yes. That's a symbol of, I forgot the name of the symbol of a goddess.
Well, that goes back to ancient Egypt, actually.
Yes.
And I think that was a symbol they used for Isis, wasn't it? Or Isis?
I would imagine, Don, yeah. Yeah. And remember in Egypt, too, they had the dog in the paintings, the dog with the flail.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's symbolic of the Kenite.
Now, that touches upon something else that I thought of about a half an hour ago, actually, which ties in with what you're saying. When you mention the Kenites, when you mention Egypt, you mention the Pharaoh.
Yes.
And we're talking about this insanity and this mind control that's going to be taking place. Montauk has a very, of course, if you've heard of the Montauk program at all, you know about the mind control that's been going on there and the technology that was used. The decompartmentalization, or maybe it's compartmentalization is the proper word, of a person's brain to break up into separate personalities, each one carrying out a specific task, and they accomplish this through the technology, but primarily they start in the raw, so to speak, as children, as infants. And it's a combination of torture, extreme torture, simulated or actual drowning experiences, sexual assaults and various types of abuse that adults do to children. They carry that out for the first 18 months, and then they switch to the opposite. They act loving, and then they go back to it for the rest of their life, depending on what that role is of that individual. And they do this to their own. They do this within the Illuminati bloodlines. To keep this vibration going, too. It's not just a question of loyalty to the family or to the cause. It's very sadistic. Now, when they went to Montauk, they actually were on the land previously owned by the Montauk Indians. The Montauk family had a very interesting name. The founders of the Montauk people, let's say, the chieftains of the Montauk, were known as Pharaoh. And the Nazis knew that there was a connection, there was a power center there at Montauk, and that it was in a particular alignment with Egypt, which also had Pharaoh, a whole line of Pharaohs. So they're taking over of Montauk and basically kicking the Indians, the native or the indigenous people, out of that area, and then turning it into such a demonic place was intended to capitalize on that power. We're talking about things like going time manipulation, going into other realms. So it's a pretty dark kind of science, a dark practice being done there. And many people who came out of that, Al Bielek, Preston Nichols, Duncan Cameron, and some others, talked about the sorts of things that went on there. And these are things that they have been unleashing on people. When we have these mass murders that sporadically occur at schools or in restaurants or at the post office, it's actually become so common that they say, "I'm going to go postal on you." That's become a word. In other words, they're describing that insanity. But that's actually those people are created. They're not that way in and of their natural self. They've been taught to become that. They've been controlled, manipulated, in that sense. And so we already have an example of what this is going to be like. We're talking about just a microcosm of it, though.
Sure. Yes.
Do you get that impression, too?
Oh, definitely, Don. And it's the hot-cold situation. It's the positive-negative situation. Whenever the negative starts rising up or coming to the full, the Father's plan that the positive would also come up at the same time. He always has balance in his economy. where there's the positive, the negative is always there, and where the negative is, always the positive. He has to rise up. Whenever he had a Pharaoh, he had a Moses. You see, it's the balance, the perfect balance that the Father has. You know, a short ways away from Montauk in Block Island, Rhode Island, there's a tribe that was known. They were documented by the University of Connecticut as existing 500 B.C. They were highly advanced in deep-sea fishing off the coast of Block Island, and they found all kind of artifacts alluding to that. And this people was known as the Manasseans, according to the archaeologists from University of Connecticut. I think his name was McBride. Well, in any event, you think it's any coincidence, Don, that in 500 B.C., roughly, that is when the tribes of Israel came out of the Assyrian captivity?
No, I don't see it as a coincidence.
One of the tribes.
Yeah.
In Block Island, USA. Balancing off, probably what went down on Montauk Point, Pharaoh. See?
Mm-hmm.
Wherever Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Well, there's been, I can't think of any positive things that have occurred there. There was a connection to the Philadelphia experiment there. Of course, a lot of that had to do with the perverted application of Nikola Tesla's scientific discoveries. And he actually had refused to participate in that. And they killed him before going into that experiment. And they didn't have the qualifications he had to do those things. He had received this information from a very high place. And it was to be used to benefit mankind, but they weaponized many of his inventions. And we've seen the effects of that in two world wars and all the wars in between and after. We're seeing it in our weather today. Although it's not being reported, we know that they're using these types of weapons in Iraq. We saw pictures of mutilated babies or little children lying in the street. And the disfigurement that occurred could only be attributed to depleted uranium and neutron bombs.
Yeah. See, the Father's watching all of this take place, and he has this all written down. Dan. So, I mean, nobody's getting away with it. The Father has this all documented and all written down. It's no accident, Don, that the Assyrian, Babylonian, and the Egyptian, and the Mayan calendars all started at the same time. I believe this was from a world age that was.
Mm-hmm.
A continuation, a remnant, a world age that was brought into this, when that age was destroyed, there was a little remnant that brought forth into this age. That's why the advanced knowledge and mathematics and figures are really perplexing to man when they try to study, for example, a pyramid of Giza in its perfection.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a company on the face of the U.S. today, a construction company, that can duplicate it. And we had the Mayans. Their calendar was of the same origin. And later on, we had what we know in the Mississippi Valley as the Mound Builders. Definitely interesting peoples.
They even had pyramids in China,
There you go, yeah.
that, yeah. which they've kept secret for a lot of reasons. But, you know, there are some of us that read that know about it.
Yes. They always needed those high places of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't funny that a man that we just elected president, his name means, Bama in the Hebrew means high place of worship. you know, it's interesting times now. For those that, see, I always said that we should teach our children Hebrew, because if you knew Hebrew, it would explain a lot of things that are going on today to our children.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, I'm a little prejudiced. I say the Christian children should learn their heritage, who they really were. And the Hebrew would explain a lot. Now, when people say to me, they say, let's go to the book of Jeremiah, I say, well, let's go to the book of He Who God Launches Forth. Let's leave the man out of it, and let's put the title in.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to He Who God Launches Forth. Now this can be anyone who the Father launches forth.
Yeah.
See, if you know the language, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, I looked up the name Obama in the Luo dialect, or the dialect of the Luo tribe in Kenya,
yeah.
And it doesn't exist there in their language. However, in Indonesia, it exists, and it means Owen, which I found to be quite interesting.
How do you say that, Owen?
Owen, two words. O, which is a vocative, like O man or O Lord.
Oh yeah.
It's a proclamation of a sound expressing deep emotion.
Oh, okay.
Or revelation. Owen, as if you're asking a question, a rhetorical question. Yeah, it's, you know, it's one hell of a story that they put together. Let me put it that way. When they created this guy, I don't think it's that we're even that smart. I think it's just discernment taking over.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's you know, a lot of people see things that others don't see. I mean, it's just not that they're any better than anybody else. It's just that they got a job to do. Just as the father has a negative part to his plan, he also has a positive part.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, when the full witness takes place, people will have the first time in their existence to make a choice, an educated choice, as to which side they want to get off the fence on.
Oh, yeah. Now, we have a president right now who is doubling as a shoe rack. and I don't know if you're aware of Bush being in Iraq in front of... Boy, that was a pun, too. he was speaking in Baghdad in front of some Iraqi journalists. And... this one guy took off a shoe and threw it at him. And he just sort of nonchalantly ducked, and then the guy took his time and bent back down and took off his other shoe and stood up and threw the other one at him, and he ducked like it was no big deal. It looked so very staged to me. But the reason I brought that up is that's the worst that he's going through after all of what he has damaged, what he has destroyed, including the many millions of lives. We're not even talking about the thousands on 9/11. We're talking about all the soldiers that are over there fighting this war under the pretext of terrorism, yet the very people causing all the problems are the ones that sent them there to fight the war and are bringing back drugs.
You know, Don, I took a school bus. I'm a school bus driver. Mm-hmm. I took a school bus charter of young 14, 15-year-olds up to Springfield, Massachusetts, to an armory up there in Springfield. And this armory made weapons for the Civil War. It was a class project. They were going there to study the weapons of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the students asked a timeless question to the fellow that was giving the lecture. He was showing us all the different guns that were in the war, that how bullets went right up into the barrel of the gun and shredded open like a banana, and the bullets hit the weapons and dent them and everything. And the student asked the question of the guy. He said, what side did you make the weapons for? And the fella said to me, and I almost fell off the chair. He says, we made it for both. Here's an armory making weapons for both.
Yeah, that was probably owned by the King of England at that time too.
You see the deception goes way, way back. It goes all the way back to Cain. All these wars that were fought was all about these two seed lines. The two seed lines, one trying to overcome the other. They had to destroy the true Israelites so that the false could take their place. You see?
Mm-hmm.
North and south, divide and conquer. The Mason-Dixon line, the northern kingdom, the mm-hmm. southern kingdom. Let them kill yeah. each other.
On yeah, Sunday, and the true Israelites are not the Zionists.
No.
Who have historically posed as Israelites.
That's it. You remember the story of Little Red Riding Hood?
Yeah, she was the one with the seven dwarfs, wasn't she? No, I'm just kidding.
She was the one that was going to Grandma's house.
I remember.
Put on Grandma's clothes.
Uh-huh.
Well, see, that wolf's still around today.
That's kind of a strange story, too. Almost a perverted story, you know.
That was the story that the German people taught their children. It was a biblical story. See, they put their the fairy, what we called when we were kids, what do they call them, fairy tales?
Mm-hmm.
Those stories that we used to have. They put it in form that the children would understand. This was in the Black Forest of Germany. See, the German people, I believe, are the tribe of Judah, for the most part. And the Kenites, of course, I quoted earlier, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, were predominantly mixed in with that tribe. There was something about the tribe of Judah. They had all the gifts of the father, the priest line. They were a strong tribe. And the Kenites knew where to put their nest. And they always made it real tough for the tribe of Judah, the true tribe of Judah. And, for other reasons, too, with Christ coming through, partially through the line of Judah, too. It's the thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
But the German people buried those biblical stories in the form of fairy tales, and so that they could pass it on to their children, stories that they could understand.
Yeah, we want to clarify, we're not attacking the German people themselves.
No, the German people are great people.
What we are actually revealing, not just tonight, but on many of the shows, is that the Canaanites, or let's say the Ashkenazis, that name Nazi, although I hear people constantly say, well, that's the German Socialist Workers' Party, the National Workers' Party. That is a term that they used for it, just like the SS has been always construed to have a military meaning. It stands for the Schwarze Sonne, which means the Black Sun.
Mm-hmm.
They shroud everything they say, every name they create, and everything they do in duplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And the only common, the only sensible or logical definition of Nazi is the shortening of the word Ashkenazi,
mm-hmm.
which in Hebrew means German. So they were actually posing as Germans, the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
They were not
mm-hmm.
really Germans.
Right.
Just like the people right. who are posing as Americans today aren't really Americans. There's no difference whatsoever.
Right.
As you know, my genealogical research shows out, and what Obama himself is demonstrating for us. You don't even have to research that. You just watch and listen. Pay attention to what's being said. None of it makes any sense. So you are right. We are in those times. As a parting word, Joe, because we are running out of time now, we want to give Seth a heads up, too. What would you like to share with the audience that you haven't said already?
Three verses, Don. Three verses would sum it up beautifully. Revelation 18:3. For all A-L-L nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Down to verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning.
Now, do you have another passage you want to read?
Yes, it's over in 17:2.
Okay.
With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. You see, many nations worldwide, all nations of the earth, and the kings thereof, are all together in one bed fornicating.
Boy, we know that.
This confusion of the end times.
Dialectics. Yeah, sounds like Skull and Bones you're talking about there.
Well, we talked about pirates the other day, Don.
Yeah.
The pirates of the seas that flew the Skull and Bones flag.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually, different pirates were actually like undercover agents from different countries. Highly sponsored mm-hmm. by them to steal other countries' gold.
Yeah.
So they were highly trained, even though they were looked like a ragtag army. They were highly trained.
Yeah, and I brought that up because that's exactly what they're doing today. That's what this is all about.
It's all about that. Well, that should sum it up, Don. I think people of the earth have to know the truth. And then if you know that, you put it comfort that you know ahead of time what's taking place, and it'll give you some comfort anyway. But if you dig a little deeper in the scriptures, it'll start to reveal itself. That's what the book of Revelation means, to reveal. And Paul called in Galatians 1:12, he said, had an apocalypse. That's a face-to-face meeting with Jesus. And so the book of Revelation is also known as the apocalypse. So you'll have a face-to-face meeting with the true Jesus. That's my prayer.
Well, I thank you. Great show tonight. And you are scheduled to be on Monday the 29th of this month. Couple of days before the new year, so I'm looking forward to your next visit.
All right, Don. Thank
And in case you hadn't heard, Rick Adams is back to doing his two-hour show again, which I'm very happy for.
I did hear that. Yes, that's great.
And I mentioned, briefly, I mentioned Dr. K. I've been studying his work, and we're going to be bringing him on the show. Regarding that remark I made about Ashkenazi, he actually said the same thing himself. Now, I don't know if he learned that from me or we are just both picking it up, but I know I had discussed that with him. That is a crucial word from history that is secretly being used behind the scenes, but is coming to the forefront more and more every day.
I also have the positive part of that word, Don, and it's known as the Nazirite.
Mm-hmm.
Nazirite?
Yes.
See the positive for the negative?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a special vow that was taken by some of God's people.
Maybe the next time you're on, Joe, we could talk a little bit about this connection and how this goes back to Mongolia and Tibet.
Sure.
It's very interesting because you can see this sort of sweeping across Asia and then through Europe and the Middle East and across the sea over to America. There's
the time
a pattern.
Time for it.
Yes.
It's the time that these things be brought forth.
Okay, Joe. Well, I want to wish you a very good night, and I want to say good night to our listening audience now. So we'll see you again on Monday, the 29th of December. Okay, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Don.
And to our listening audience out there, I'm first going to give a shout out to Don and Doug Newsom and to thank them for making Evident Footprints possible, as well as all the other fine shows on BBS Radio. And to the listening audience, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.